Do you want to do the lead-in?
I don't know what. I've never paid attention to your lead-in.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I... Oh, no! Oh, jeez! Oh, no. Where are we?
I don't know, Cassie. I don't know where this is. I feel like we're lost.
That's right, Zach. We're in the land of the lost.
Oh, God.
Hooray! Oh, no. My witchcraft worked.
And by your witchcraft, you mean our good friend and Patreon sponsor, David Gansel's magic.
Yeah, we can actually put his name in this because he gives us lots of money.
Yeah, one of our patrons and also one of our good friends.
We can call him a dear friend.
Yeah, he's a dear friend for sure. One of close friends, David Gansel, pitched the idea.
For context, one of the things that Dave and I have in common is a deep affinity and love for vintage television. That is one of the cornerstones of our friendship, mm-hmm. and something that I know I can always rely on him to know and to have my back on.
Yeah, if it was on TV land, you both ate it up.
If it's technically considered retro television, we're on it.
Yeah, when you had mentioned Sleestaks in our first episode with the Silurians,
yeah,
that had made Dave want to. He had specifically pitched it as a Patreon exclusive, but then you had the idea of switching it to be an April Fool's episode instead.
Yeah,
which April Fool's.
LOL, we're not killing Hitler.
No, we're killing the dinosaurs like the Ice Age.
No, they like them in this show. They name them and everything.
All right, so what are we doing today, Cassie?
So, for those of you at home, if you would like to watch along with us, it is available on free on Tubi. If you're a big fucking nerd like I am, I have the three season series available to me as DVDs. So we are watching them on DVD, but you can also watch them too.
Yeah, from great-tv-shows.com, according
to... Hey, it's officially Universal Studios licensed, okay?
I'm just saying what it says here on the screen.
Anyways, so because the Sleestak are so very important to me in particular, we're doing something a little bit different. I'm showing Zach the very first episode that ever aired in 1974 called Chaka, because spoiler alert,
Chaka Khan's in it. Every woman. this show features every woman.
You're so fucking funny, Zach. So we are watching the first episode, Chaka, and then we are going to skip all the way the hell to the end and watch the very last episode that features the Sleestak. Because the very last episode of the series is not as exciting as the last episode that features the Sleestak. So we're going to watch Chaka and then what was the name of that one? The Totem. No, not the Totem. The Ancient Guardian. Sorry, I got that wrong. Same difference.
All right.
Different words.
All right. I will admit, I don't know much about Land of the Lost.
You know what I know, which I'm just gonna out myself right now, right this second. This is one of my favorite shows. I can't tell you what fucking happens in it. me and my dad specifically would watch these so much, but because... So for outside further context, Sid and Marty Krofft are two of my favorite producers of all time. And a lot of that has to do with these like Saturday morning VHS tapes that my dad got from Countrywide. That means nothing to you. Awesome.
I'm assuming Country Ride is like a catalog that would.
It was a catalog that would specifically send you like very rare collections of like Soul Train, or in my case, it was Sid and Marty Krofft Saturday Mornings. Mm-hmm. So it was a collection of it would vary. Each one had an episode of H.R. Puffin Stuff, Lidsville, and the Bugaloos. Each one always had one of those. And then there were other episodes of Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. That was one of my favorites. Not gay, but
not gay, but extremely bi.
They're so hot. Anyways. But those are some of my favorite things that I own. When we were packing to evacuate, those VHS tapes were one of the things I threw in my box before my clothes. I put those bitches in a box first. Land of the Lost is by the same production company, but did not feature as prominently on those particular Saturday morning like tapes. Mm-hmm. So this show, it aired from 1974 to 1976.
Okay.
And then afterwards was used as a summer filler on CBS. So it started on NBC and then went to CBS and aired during the summer for 2 years.
Okay.
And during that time is when it really regained traction, because that was during the 70s. As you know, that there was the 1991 reboot.
So it's a very like Star Trek kind of life it had, where it wasn't super popular when it was first on air. It was when it was going through reruns that people really started to find a fondness for it. Okay.
1991 saw its reboot of the series that did not last very long. And then 2009, we saw the film remake with Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Produced by Universal Studios, so it did circle back around to being NBC property again. I could go into right now some of my favorite things about it, but one of my favorite things about it actually happens to be the Zacky Perfacky.
Oh dear, another one of these.
It's easy, I promise. So
I somehow doubt that.
The intro features one of my favorite instruments.
Okay.
I need you to tell me what that instrument is.
Oh, God.
It's easy. Because then I will say, spoiler alert, that instrument is the undercurrent soundtrack for the rest of the series, if that helps you at all.
Is it like a traditional instrument, or is it like a...
I mean, what's your definition of traditional?
Is it an instrument you would see in like an orchestra?
I'm not going to throw something at you like, oh,
it's like a didgeridoo is what I'm
it's
getting
a minute. Like, no, but asking if it's traditional is a complicated question.
Okay. Well, I mean, because it would be one you would learn in like middle school, high school.
Okay, you're saying like, is it a trumpet? Is it a trombone, a tuba?
Yeah, those sorts of things.
Percussion? No.
No. Okay. Hmm. That does.
But there is the hiccup in the, is it traditional? Yes.
Okay.
In that there is a very specific type of music where it is.
Okay.
Inception created the music and vice versa.
Interesting. Okay. Is it one of the, is it just like, what are those little, like, pads they use to play music now that are like electronica? You know, the ones that look like a light bright,
like an omnicord.
Yeah, an omnicord. Yeah, those sort of, but not. Yeah, so you know, things that look like a Simon Says toy, but aren't.
I'm not going to answer yes or no. This is. Hi, I'm in your spot now. How does it fucking feel?
Well, I'm just trying to think about what are things that Cassie likes. Because the sad thing is most of the instruments that I immediately want to be like, oh, Cassie likes this, aren't like instruments that I feel like you could build an entire show soundtrack around. Because I want to be like a kazoo, a recorder, a didgeridoo.
I mean, you say recorder. That was the answer for another question in the show, but we're not getting to that episode.
I'm going to say a saxophone.
Saxophone. Interesting.
Because that one you could learn in school. I don't know if your school would have had that.
We had drum.
You're talking about, I was thinking about what you've said up here is like, oh, it was sort of the impetus for uh, a, a genre of music. And, you know, while saxophone is not required for jazz, I do think it's very like synonymous with jazz. It's a dynamic enough instrument that you could build an entire soundtrack around it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would say, like, because it's a show from the past, I would say like a drum of some kind. But I don't feel like you could build an entire soundtrack around it.
Although that would be very interesting to have an entire show built around a bongo. Or what are those big Japanese drums?
I don't know.
You know the ones I'm talking about.
I mean,
it's not.
You could build an entire soundtrack around a bongo. There's a band that is literally nothing but bongos. If you know the Jump on It. Mm-hmm. That song was written by a band, I think, just called the Bongo Five.
Cool.
Oh no, I think it's the Incredible Bongo Band. I think is what it's called.
Wonderful.
So I'm gonna go with, I think saxophone is what I gotta go with.
All right, you're locking in on saxophone?
Yeah, it's the only thing I can think of that really lines up with all the stuff we've talked about.
All right. We are going to watch now the first episode, aptly named Chaka, who is a prominent feature throughout the rest of the series. So it is important that you know who this is. Is also one of mine and my dad's absolute favorite characters of all time.
I'm assuming, I mean, we're only getting like a very tiny, tiny little glimpse here. Is Chaka the little monkey child? That's
yes.
Bringing, okay.
Like the Neanderthal.
Yeah.
I don't think they do it a lot in the first episode, which is so upsetting. Part of the reason why I like eye acting so much is because of this fucker right here. Because after a while, they really do. Will just like hard zoom in on him with his like big furrowed brow as he's just like looking back and forth like all crazy. It's so funny. This show's so funny. Oh, I'm so excited. And so now we will find out if the intro is led by a saxophone here on the first episode of Land of the Lost, Chaka.
For today's episode of Who Is My Doctor, we have a very special presentation. A team of the world's top scientists have gotten together to genetically engineer an actual dinosaur, biologically accurate to the way they were upon this Earth millions of years ago. None of that Jurassic Park fictional nonsense, only real hard science here. And we here at the podcast have been given special access to let you hear one of these majestic beasts for the first time. Take it away, Sinclair! Quack.
And we are back from our first episode of Land of the Lost. What did you think, Zach?
I see why you like it. There's a lot going on in it. And it, I also want to say, I'm pretty sure a lot of my issues with it suffer from the fact that it is a pilot.
Yes.
Because a lot of it.
I will say the first two episodes, not good. Yeah. The second is somehow worse than the first.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Because it.
Because you also like it, if I can immediately jump in and start defending it.
Yeah.
The actress playing Holly is 12 at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Kathy Coleman is the little girl playing Holly. Got this job when she was 12.
Okay.
So she is, and this is like her first like job as an actor.
Yeah. And you, but I will say the issue really isn't the acting for me.
What is it, Zach? The real life dinosaurs? Honest, or the
70s television already has a problem with this, but I think pilots for 70s television have it even more, where it's just kind of not exciting to look at.
Oh yeah,
like they're doing a lot of, they're spending a lot of time in front of like brown sets, wearing brown outfits. Uh-huh. And then they bring in Chaka, who's covered in brown fur. And I'm like, man, this is a lot of brown. That's what I'm looking at. And like, there's a part of me that's like, OK, I can. The acting isn't awful. I actually think in many cases, and for what they've got written for them, it's fine. The dad is clearly the best performer of the three of them.
Rick, you can use his government name.
Because we follow the mostly the kids for it, so they keep calling him dad. So I want to call him the dad.
Rick. So for context, so dad is Rick, older brother Will, and then sister is Holly.
Okay, yeah, Holly's fine. Like she's definitely a little like stiff. I mean, we've seen worse child acting in Doctor Who with Chloe Weber, who's whispering at everything. Like I don't have a problem with Holly. She's fine. If anything, sometimes their writing's a little weird, like the pacing awkward. But for the most part, I don't really have a problem with that. I love the puppet claymation dinosaurs.
Oh my god, this is my favorite part.
Like it feels like what they wanted to do was just make a documentary for dinosaurs featuring claymation dinosaurs. But
like
they,
my biggest beef in addition to that is just that dinosaurs are way more interesting to look at.
Yeah.
But this was also 1974. We did not know half as much about these dinosaurs as we do now.
Yeah. And you don't. And you, if you really want to like play with it, you could also just say the dinosaurs are different in the Land of the Lost. Like if you like they
more in the terms of like in line with what you were saying of they're brown. Later on, there's a dinosaur because Grumpy is the T-Rex, and then there is an Allosaurus by the name of Alice. Alice, the Allosaurus.
Yeah, so I don't...
But she's also green. And so even... And then there's a Triceratops that's also brown. So they do keep this a very neutral palette. And you'll even see later, the Sleestak are primarily green.
Yeah.
They keep everything very neutral. There is not a lot of vibrant technicolors. Which is also surprising when you consider and when you look at other Sid and Marty Krofft shows mm-hmm. where things are vibrant and they are colorful and, you know, neon and technicolor. And you have like Living Island is a great example where half of the island is in these like vibrant yellows, greens and oranges. Mm-hmm. And then the other half is in these like gray, blue, purple.
Yeah.
Palettes. And so it is surprising that a show like this that is effectively Journey to the Center of the Earth it is not what this is inspired by.
I would
by.
Say the only other thing about it where I was just like where I wasn't digging it is I feel like these three characters are going through what is undoubtedly a traumatizing experience and they all seem like they're just kind of like stuck in line at the grocery store. Like, they're like, oh, man, this is really annoying. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're about to be eaten alive.
Which also, on the counter of that, would this be half as interesting to watch if they were constantly just screaming and yelling at each other because they're stressed out?
Well, they don't necessarily like screaming and yelling, but they like the fact that they just seem so blasé about the whole situation that it just feels weird.
Again, 1970.
Yeah, a novelty of 70s television where... That's not what the show's about. I get that. It's a weird hurdle for me.
And also, do bear in mind, this was a show marketed for children.
Yeah, and I think that is probably where the disconnect is. I'm so busy sitting here trying to get over the hurdle of like, if I was in this situation, I would be shitting my pants.
You would be giving the dinosaurs silly voices, which is what you were doing here on the couch.
Anytime T-Rex walked out there, his name was Grumpy.
To be fair, both his claymation model and his little latex puppet are both fucked up.
they're both a little doofy. He moved a little bit more like a cat, like we at one point called him out on moving like Bailey.
It's this particular movement that they do where the like puppeteer does because it is the hand puppet mm-hmm. where it like turns over its shoulder in a way that's like, I don't think they could make such a tight turn.
Yeah, it's interesting. I am curious to see what the show turns into.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to see what the show turns into. I'm going to have so much explaining to do.
Chaka is a fun element, especially for a 70s show. I kind of wish Chaka was an adult and not a child, because I already feel like you've already got a child with Holly, and Will, while being an adult, is still, because he is still Rick's son, there is an element of like, these are two kids.
Yeah.
They're, like, one of them is 12 and one of them is like 18, but they're still two kids with one adult. And I think it would be fun if Chaka was like an adult that just balanced it out a little bit more, where instead it just kind of feels like three kids and one adult. I don't know. But again, also it's marketed to kids. So what am I to say?
What did you think about the Pikuni language?
The Pikuni language?
Yeah.
I didn't pick up. I just picked up on.
Because the Pikuni are speaking a language designed for the show.
Interesting. Yes. I did not pick up on that. All I picked up on was him imitating English and then grunting.
Mm-mm. They hired a linguist by the name of Victoria Fromkin, who specifically created the Pikuni language inspired by the sounds of West African speech.
Wow.
With the intention of creating a world rich enough that then there would be a new fictitious language for children to learn week by week and develop the lore of this world even more, which is also something I forgot about, that they introduce you to the pylons very early on.
Yeah.
The pylons is something that I don't really think that they touch up on in the next episode that we're going to watch,
mm-hmm.
but they play a very prominent feature in a lot of episodes just as vehicles for things to happen, if that makes sense.
I was really interested in seeing this. I was like, oh, that's cool. This is so there's weird things even beyond the weirdness of being in the Land of the Lost. Kind of cool. Like I was excited by that idea. So that was another thing where I'm like, oh, and it's like, it says it feels like nothing. So I imagine when he says it feels like nothing, but then Holly says it feels cold, that it feels like, I imagine it felt like touching the air, like touching a cool breeze. I thought that was kind of an interesting idea. I liked that quite a bit. I had mentioned that I like the claymation dinosaurs and the puppet dinosaurs. I also like the sets that they have the dinosaurs running through.
Yes.
Because those are way more like, you're not just getting the brown of the trees and the rocks, you're getting the green off of the leaves. And so you've got a much nicer palette that you're looking at. But for the most part, I think a lot of my issues with this stem from it being a pilot where it's just a little rough, a little under budget because of, you know, pilots tend to be. But I am curious to see what is going to happen by season three.
Now,
what 3 years of this show turns into.
I have a theory. I really believe that the Sleestak God is actually intended to be the pilot, because something that I clock, because the truth in the matter, or like the truth, peek behind the curtain a little bit with me. That's the first episode I watched in preparation for this, our recording episode.
Mm-hmm.
The pylon looks nothing like it does in the pilot, which is interesting, because for that, it is a structure very similar to what we saw. But in a very close up zoom, you see that it's just covered in foil. Like Mylar foil, because I'm pulling up a picture popcorn for you, because I don't know that we'll get into it entirely. And this is indeed a 3D model, but it still serves a purpose. The pylons you can enter, and I'm so angry, because another thing I was going to do in preparation for this episode, since I'm unsure that we're going to get to do another one, I want to like put all my cards out on the table. I was going to look for episodes that have some of our favorite lines from Doctor Who in it.
Okay.
One of the lines is, oh, it's bigger on the inside, because pylons, you can step inside. And there are these beautiful little control panels that have these different colored crystals that you can twist and turn and have them do different things. And so upon stepping inside, somebody does remark that it is, quote, bigger on the inside, which I thought was really fun. And its control panel is a little bit more archaic, but very beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. Very fun. I do like the like Fruity Pebbles texture of it.
Yeah, the light bright quality about it. See, yeah, Cassie, and then somebody
there was one of those Omnicords in this after all. It's just inside the pylon.
Yeah, you were incorrect. The word was banjo. So when you said traditional, I was thinking traditional bluegrass.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah. I should have guessed banjo because you've been trying to play banjo for a hot minute now.
Yeah, I have one. For our audience at home, not you sitting on the couch, which I intend on learning to play.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the banjo intro.
No, you were. It was awesome.
It just, I don't know.
Shut up. It was great.
I'd like this. I'll say this. I like the song. I don't dislike the song itself, but the vibe that a banjo gives is so not dinosaur adventure.
It emulates something that is unhinged. Another thing that I could not shake is that the actor playing Will, his last name is spelled E-U-R-E. Would you spell your?
Yeah, your.
Air? Wesley Year.
Yeah.
I couldn't get over the fact that he looks like a young Zac Efron.
A little bit, yeah.
And also, I learned a very important, interesting fun fact about him. Would you like...
Okay.
Would you like to guess what that... This isn't for a point. Because you were wrong. So even... you could get... I didn't know if the name would ring any bells for you. So he didn't really do a whole lot of acting after this. He did go on to showrun a very popular PBS children's series. Would you like to guess what that children's series is?
Interesting.
This isn't one of your questions, but it might be. If you guess this correctly, I will still give you a point.
Trying to think of like, so he would have been, so if he's like 20 now, we're talking about over the next 20 years, something with puppets.
I did say PBS.
Yeah, I've got one like on the tip of my brain, but I can't think of what it is. Is it Mr. Rogers?
Do you think it's Mr. Rogers?
Sure. I mean, that's the closest thing I can think of.
He didn't show run Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
It's one of my personal favorites.
Okay.
For a very specific reason.
Okay.
Would you like to guess again? Or
no.
Do
you, what did you tell me?
He show run Dragon Tales.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you and I are in that show.
Yeah.
There's a Zach and there's a Cassie.
There is a Zach and a Cassie.
Interesting. I would not have guessed that because I was trying to think of something that had like some...
Puppet element,
yeah.
Yeah, because everything that PBS ran that was puppet-oriented was a Jim Henson production.
Interesting,
but,
okay.
But yeah, he goes on to do Dragon Tales. So you don't get any points.
No points for this episode.
Follow-up questions. So by the end of the series, which I know that we're not watching the end of the series just because that episode is a little... not fun to talk about. So we're doing one that will be fun to talk about. One of the characters is gone.
Okay.
Would you like to guess who and how they are gone?
Of the family plus Chaka?
Of the family.
Okay.
Of the family. So you have the choice of either Rick, Will, or Holly.
Mm.
One of them is gone. And I'm not asking for the real world reason of why they are gone. In the show, what happens to them?
I'm going to say Will goes off into the woods and joins. Can we make those 2 points? I get 1 point if I get the right person and 1 point if I get why they left.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to say Will is who leaves. And he leaves because he... gets out of the land of the lost, but the other two are still stuck.
Okay, so you're so one
point if it's Will, another point if the person yeah left
if
the land
Will of, leaves the land of the lost
yes.
and then leaves everybody else behind.
Yes.
Okay, I'll allow that.
Okay,
you do the same bone throwing bitch ass answers for me, so I can do the same for you.
Which the look on Cassie's face tells me I got both things wrong.
So the next episode that we are going to do is the, what's the word? It's not penultimate because that's the one before the last, but the one before that. The penultimate.
The pen penultimate.
The pen penultimate.
The pre-penultimate.
So we are going to watch the pre-penultimate episode, season 3, episode 11, Ancient Guardian, where we will find out if Will leaves because he has found a way to get out of the land of the lost in this episode of Who Is My Doctor? What a series of words. And we are back from another riveting episode of The Land of the Lost. What did you think, Zach?
Dino tales. It's almost time for dino tales.
This one didn't have... Oh, I guess I had one dinosaur.
Yeah, this one I thought was a really big improvement over the first episode.
Oh, really? Just what makes you say that?
Visually, they had a lot more. Like, it wasn't all set during, like, basically the same time of day.
Yes.
They like, the caves were way more interesting to look at because, like, even though they're caves, but because they were shot at night and they had stuff going on inside them, they weren't all, like, the same color brown.
Fair.
The slee stacks are visually more interesting because they're also different colors. And for some reason, they sound like someone failing to whistle.
See, for me, it sounds like when you are at the dentist and they have the electro funnel that is sucking in the.
You know, you're not wrong. I could see. I definitely hear that too.
So my favorite thing about the slee stack is in the very beginning, they're just. I mean, they're dweebs the entire time. They don't have any kind of bite attack, claw, or like foot attack. They don't seem to have any kind of acid.
Mm-hmm.
They have weapons. They never use them.
They have a horn, but it's like in the center of their head. So it's incredibly unuseful.
Every so often, they'll bust out a net, like if they're trying to attack somebody. And in the very beginning, the second episode of the entire series is actually called The Slee Stack God, in which they capture Will and Holly because they are like crawling around their caves, like looking for stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they get captured and put over a foggy pit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to guess what the slee stack god looks like?
Is it just like a really big slee stack?
Spoiler alert. We don't fucking know. They never, ever bring that bitch up ever again. Cause you could say, cause at first as a young kid, I was always like, oh, it's the red one. That's Enoch. Enoch, who we saw in this episode, is a time traveler, but he thought that he was from the slee stack's future, but he's actually from their past. So the slee stack that we see are a future generation of the kind of slee stack that Enoch is.
Okay, then they've just like devolved into a more violent species.
Yeah. And don't know English, apparently, except for one this time. And then we also saw the like Hall of Elders, which are just slee stack skulls that impart wisdom when asked. Only sometimes, though, because sometimes they don't want to talk to Enoch, so they just go, no.
Man, I wish wish Google would do that sometimes. Like you ask Google just a dumb question and it's like, no, you don't know.
Should I, a man, have to buy women's period products for my girlfriend? No.
Oh, no, I shouldn't. No, you just shouldn't ask that question.
Bad question.
Is the moon really made of cheese? No.
No. Well, that's too bad, Gromit. A goo-goo said it wasn't. Something else that this particular episode has, which is kind of a hallmark in a lot of Sid and Marty Krofft shows, is a musical number.
Yeah, that was a little jarring that it ended with just like, hey, will you play us a tune? And he went, sure. And he picked up. Not a guitar. There was some sticks glued together. I don't know where he would have gotten string from.
I mean, you could easily argue that that's just a very rudimentary tool, like instrument made from wood, gourds, and twine.
But I don't know how you switch keys on your guitar while not moving your left hand at all. That was very interesting.
I don't know
interesting.
How you get reverb in a temple.
Especially when you didn't have reverb in the exact same spot you were sitting in. Moments
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, when you're outside. And then we're kind of glossing over it. So I will give you a single point for the fact that, yes, the person who is missing does find a way out of the land of the lost, but it is not Will. It is, in fact, Rick.
I do like
that the intro explains what happens.
The intro explains what happens. And
fuck, I miss intros that explain what happened. I'm a forgetful little bitch.
And what I loved about it was they're like, oh, yeah, that's definitely Rick. You could tell because that's the back of his head.
Yeah, look, he has the same curly hair and build.
Did I ever tell? I don't know if I told you this. So when Colin Baker got fired from Doctor Who,
yeah,
he was offered the chance to do his regeneration scene into Sylvester McCoy, but he was so angry at the way the BBC had treated him, justifiably, that he did not want to show up for that scene.
Understandable.
So what we see before Colin Baker regenerating is Sylvester McCoy wearing a wig that matches Colin Baker's hair, and you only see him from the back. So you did find something very Doctor Who-y.
Yeah, yeah, I did. And in all fairness, just because we were doing a breadth from beginning to almost end, I wanted you to be able to see Chaka and the Slee Stack. There are quite a few episodes in here that deal with timey-wimey bullshit.
Yeah, I saw one on our scroll here to get to the episode. Obviously, Medicine Man is the one where we were like, yee.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you, the audience, are more than welcome to watch it.
But then I also saw Hot Air Artist, which appears to have a man with one of the most villainous mustaches I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, the Flying Dutchman. Because season three starts to get a little wacky wild because... So the reason why the show was canceled in 1976 is because of lower viewership and because the show was very expensive to produce.
Yeah.
So expensive that most of the time, anytime that you see dinosaurs that are just kind of like doing idle business, they reuse the same like claymation shots. And considering that a lot of these shows were broadcast Saturday mornings without the expectation of getting rerun, mm-hmm. you can reuse footage like that. It isn't until they're available on infinite reruns in the form of streaming and DVDs that you really can clock how frequently they use the same shots of dinosaurs just kind of doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the ways that they cut costs. Same with using a lot of the background music. I know that this isn't something that you would clock just because you do not watch a lot of these shows. I think that Dave might be able to clock it. And perhaps any of our other folks, whoever of you out there. If you watch enough Sid and Marty Krofft shows, you can definitely recognize a lot of the same like wow, wow. Like, I don't exactly know what instrument is making those.
Can I get those again, Cassie?
Wow, wow, wow. But that sound, whatever instrument is making that.
Sorry, what sound?
That instrument specifically, the meow instrument, they use in every freaking show just because it's a little unsettling. It's mm-hmm. it's a wacky, weird sound. And yeah. because all of these shows are wacky and weird, mm-hmm. you can kind of get away with using those same sounds, especially when it has to do with outer space mm-hmm. or that's the only one that has any kind of ties to Earth. That, like, Far Out Space Nuts and Land of the Lost are the only ones where they have a little bit of grounding in on Earth. Everything else is either a town made of hats or a living island. The Bugaloos is they're bugs. They're hot bugs. They're Australian.
Everything else is a town made of hats. Quote attributed to Cassie Shima.
It's fucking Lidsville, bro. It's the kookiest. They did their very best efforts to cut costs on the show as much as they could. But as you could see,
By for example, getting rid of their best actor on the show.
By getting rid of the best actor. And part of the reason, too, why they canceled it is because it just got too expensive to produce. And also, you clocked it right away. Miss Catherine grew quite a bit in 2 years to the point where she is seeing eye to eye.
Yeah, she's
with her older brother.
Yeah, you could tell that there's a big difference between a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old because she shot up a good foot taller.
Yes. Because, like, that was even something that, like, in an interview she'd said was, like, you know, when you start off the show as a 12-year-old and by the time you end, you're 15, I'm seeing eye to eye with who is supposed to be my older brother. Mm-hmm. And, yes, like, we know that he's the older brother, but from an optic standpoint, he doesn't look like the older brother anymore.
Yeah.
Because his little sister is able to talk directly to him.
Yeah. Which there's not necessarily a problem with that, but no. I assume that they wanted Land of the Lost to feel kind of like it all took place in the same like 6 month period. Like no matter how long the show ran on for, it only took like 6 months, but someone visibly aging years.
Yes.
Makes that difficult because by the end of it, you're going to have the issue of like, not really the Land of the Lost anymore. That's just where you guys live.
Yeah. Which they do themselves a favor of keeping Holly in the same buttoned up red plaid shirt and her mm-hmm. little braids, and she has, you know, her curtain of bangs. So she does look younger still.
Yeah, and she had a very youthful face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
And even as, like, when, even when you look at pictures of her now as a 50-some-odd, 60, I don't know when the interview was done, she still is very youthful looking. That's mm-hmm. just how she's built. Good genes, but I know that it's because, like, I didn't... When we watched it, we would typically just put on, like, a disc and then have it play.
Mm-hmm.
So we would start at the beginning. So I've seen the beginning stuff more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Uncle Jack. Hot take.
You weren't a fan of Discount Chevy Chase?
Well, if for no other reason than it really stresses me out when an older man has his hands placed on a younger, on a girl's shoulders. It just, to me, is... Even if it is a, oh, well, that's her uncle. I'm like, yeah, but still.
Yeah.
It's something that immediately reads as icky to me.
Yeah, especially because there isn't really a paternal relationship in the same way. You could kind of have one with an uncle, but because he wasn't there for the first two seasons, it sure feels real weird.
I also think of it as, like, I don't have that kind of relationship with any of my uncles.
Yeah, I would also say that there's just something in general about a father figure leaving and then being replaced by a different guy that even for just a year, it's a really weird feeling as someone who, you know, grew up with a stepdad who, you know, my stepdad is a wonderful man, but I,
yeah, he's great. They listen to this podcast,
but
we love him so much,
but it's just weird to have one paternal figure leave and have another one step in and just try to make it act like nothing happened.
Well, because I even tried to play to our, like, do the scenario in my head of, like, what if Will had left? He was the one that fell through the pylon,
mm-hmm.
which I am a little bummed that we can, if people really like it, there's other very cool pylon episodes. There's one in particular where they're just going from, like, place to place.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, it's called the Pylon Express for anybody that wants to watch it. But anyways.
You're saying they get inside something that's bigger on the inside and they travel through space and time with
it? Yeah.
What a weird, stupid idea.
I know, strange.
Doctor Who would be into that?
But they do establish very early on that those pylons do possess the capability of transporting you to a different place in a different time. And so it makes perfect sense that eventually somebody would wander through. But what's even more upsetting is that there is another episode that explains how time works in this world.
Mm-hmm.
That one is called The Circle, which we might watch at another time because I do think that one is way more in your alley
mm-hmm.
because Enoch is a very cool, complex character. I love Enoch.
he was definitely, honestly, I think he was the most interesting part of the show for me.
Enoch is just as like a crash course. He is an Allurian. That is what the, like, or Allurian or Altruian.
Whatever. He's a proto-Sleestak.
He's a proto-Sleestak. But in his, when you very first meet him, he believes that he is descended from the Sleestak. But when he tries to go back to his own time, he cannot. And there is a very particular reason why he cannot. But as far as the Marshals are concerned, like, he steps through a time door and they've helped him go back home. But then he pops back up in another episode because he is, in fact, very stuck, and they help him get unstuck by doing something kind of very cool and awesome. And then he is still in the show, though, even though he's able to go home. He's like the wizard when all of the Sleestak are being big dorks because they just kind of like lurch around going and they play.
I love the
same
way they walk. That's so, so silly.
I have one of the things that this show has like taught me to appreciate is how diverse Doctor Who's aliens are, because mm-hmm. you do get ones that, yes, they're still very clearly humanoid in shape and nature because they are men in suits.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like cream of the crop man in suit. You can so clearly tell that these are just some lanky mofos stomping around and they're big. Not old Air Jordans.
It's like a half skip.
Well, it's because they got them big old feet. They try to like change their body shape, but they're all very skinny because they're wearing these like latex suits that have, and the mask has like collars that go down. So, mm-hmm. you know, they're still cover or like a cowl, excuse me. Like they're wearing these cowl masks mm-hmm. and a lot of the like background sleigh stacks, their mouths don't move. They do not speak. And again, they all carry weapons. I've literally never, ever seen one use a weapon, ever.
I did like that little...
They're so dumb.
I like that little piece of lore that they dropped here where you had mentioned it too, the skulls of their ancestors speak to impart wisdom, but the wisdom is like cryptic riddles.
Yeah.
There's a part... I was like, I really like that. There's something very like...
Is there something very you in particular about that?
Yeah, well, because there's almost like a logic to it where it's like, hey, yeah, this creature can still speak to you from beyond the grave, but the longer it's dead, the weirder it speaks.
I would get so annoyed. I'm so bad at riddles. I would absolutely need the one guy that's like, oh, he is saying that the Great One has been awakened. Thank you.
And then the guy that apparently was awakened was just a man at a...
I think his name is Kono.
Kono?
Kono or Kona.
Yeah, Kono from a regional theater production of Cats.
Oh my God. It's just a bad Chewbacca who's walking around going, ah!
And then he runs into the sleaze stacks and is like, eggs are too expensive. I'm taking yours.
No, that's the thing, though, is he throws one to the ground. He throws another to the ground. He eats one and then he takes two. Like, why did you break two already, bro?
Dominance. You have to exert dominance.
They're eggs.
That's just the alpha mentality of people like me that come from the high country.
Yeah, the hairy man from the high country.
Yeah, the hairy man from the high country.
Yeah,
I feel like I would.
That's like some kind of diss on people from Colorado, right? A mountain man from the high country.
So them damn Appalachians.
That's across the United States. You know that.
Watching this, though, one thing that I think you and I might have to watch together, because I've seen a bit of it, but I've never finished it. But I feel like it might sit in the exact cross section of our two interests, besides uh-huh. me just showing you classic Doctor Who, because that's...
That is also... Watching this just reminds me how much I do love 70s television.
There was a show that came out in the mid-2000s called Farscape.
Uh-huh.
Which is sort of like...
I think that was another one of the shows my dad watched, but I did never, ever pay attention
to. Yeah, because it's a traditional sci-fi show in the vein of like, I shouldn't say a traditional, because it's a traditional sci-fi show. But the premise of it is that a human astronaut went up into space and got hurled to a far away part of the galaxy where a lot of the aliens are designed by the Jim Henson Company.
Oh, I do think... It is on a streaming service because I read that part and went, done.
Yes.
Space and Henson, shut up.
Yeah, so I think I've got the disc somewhere in my collection, so I might have to fish out.
That could be a Patreon special.
Yeah, that could be a Patreon special. It could also be what we do for April Fool's next year, where we watch.
No, I mean, we're going to watch more of this. What are you talking about?
Fair enough.
I'll find something else for us to watch. I mean,
But yeah, Farscape could be a fun Patreon exclusive. If you're interested, this episode was requested by one of our patrons, but if you would like to request an episode for us to do as well, you can join us on Patreon and send us a direct message. If you're already a patron, feel free to go ahead and do that now. This was a fun little stop to see something similar but different.
Is this something that you think you would want to watch more of?
I wouldn't watch it without you.
Yeah, fair.
Because the joy I got out of it was watching you be excited about it. I have no nostalgia for this show, and so for
that's
me, it's
absolutely
just,
fair.
For me, it's just like, oh, this is a cool little novelty, and so I got a lot of the novelty out of just this chunk we've watched here. So all my joy going forward would just be watching you watch this show.
That's fair, because again, this is the catnip I grew up on. I will be an apologist for this, because something else that I always really love, and I don't know if it is something that I am just like child blind to, mm-hmm. but I don't feel like they ever in any of these shows, and it could also be that Sid Meier & Croft are feminists. Mm-hmm. I need to find if there is actual legitimacy to that statement. But whenever there is a girl character in the shows, very rarely do they ever belittle her or talk down to her. In Holly's case, they will often be like, you need to stay here because you are small. Please stay safe. Yeah. Which absolutely fair. I would also yell at a 12-year-old child to stay put and don't meander in the fucking forest.
Yeah, they kind of do it with Chaka too. It's not just Holly.
Yeah, because they're I mean, like, Chaka's like, you grew up there. Like, don't yell at Chaka. Chaka know what he doing.
Chaka will stay home and cook for us.
Yeah. Chaka, he will make the
roots,
trad wife.
Roots and more roots.
But like, even in H.R. Puffin stuff and Lidsville, like, they use Billie Hayes as their like golden girl because she is a phenomenal actor and she's
hi, Billie Hayes here.
Is her name Billie Hayes? Now you're making me doubt it. I'm like almost positive because I was going to say Billie Eilish and I went, that is super not correct. Yeah, her name is Billie Hayes. Fuck you.
So when you're watching the show, is she the bad guy?
No. Well, I guess in H.R. Puffin stuff, she is the witch. And they only ever refer to her as ugly because she specifically has makeup to make her look like a vintage Halloween witch decoration.
A Wizard of Oz witch.
Yeah, but she is very like self-proud. She's confident. She thinks she's the most beautiful thing. And then she looks in the mirror and it cracks.
Oh.
And like, you know, but that doesn't ever stop her. She doesn't have her like bad days because she's like, people called me ugly. Like, nah, she has her bad days because she literally can't get the thing she wants. I have bad days too because I don't get the thing I want.
Because no one ever call you ugly because you're adorable.
Oh, thank you.
You're beautiful.
Thanks. That's really meaningful to hear. And I could yap on and on forever about how much I like these types of shows, but
I could definitely see these becoming really meaningful if you watched them when you were younger, just because they're very specific. They're not like,
well, because the other thing that I really like is that a lot of it is practical, especially because of when it's made. Mm-hmm. You have the claymation dinosaurs, you have puppets, you have sets that you know they're in a soundstage, but they do a very clever thing where they'll just kind of move plants around. So you're like, the jungle is so deep. Even though, like, the only time that I ever get really angry with this show is because, like, at some specific points, they are going through a cave system, and it is the exact same cave, but at different angles. Like the same cave wall. And it's just this like black sparkly looking asphalt. And some of them have crystals in them and they use the crystals.
They
later
did too on. Good of a job of making the wall look distinct. So, you know, when they just like are shooting it from another angle.
Well, because like it's also very much, it reminds me of when you're in a queue at Knott's Berry Farm. Specifically, like, I don't think it's one that you would have been through recently, but like the Jaguar queue, where like you're in it and you're like, I'm in a Mayan temple. And then you look up and you go, that is an industrial lighting system. Like, it's very that, where it's like almost authentic and almost very good. But then there's one little thing where there's like a line that's just a little too crisp, or you can very clearly see the delineation from wall to dirt. So like there are little things like that. But also when you are a show as technically complex as this, with so many different things going on, and you know, they do a lot of like wide shots where it's Marshall or it's the Marshalls walking in this like massive like Forbidden Temple type scape, but they don't build a Forbidden Temple scape. They have the little cutouts of the actors walking in a flat painting. So it's like, that's kind of really cool to see, because you don't see flat paintings like that anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just very fun show to watch as a like bookmark in like technological advances in the 70s going into the 80s.
It's also interesting, especially for a kid, because, you know, a lot of the stuff when you're really little, the stuff you're sharing is either like cartoons or it's like very moralistic storytelling.
Yeah.
Like it's very like, and the lesson we learned today is this thing. And yeah, that's not what this show is about.
There is still those like lessons being imparted, but there is nobody actively sitting down to say, what did we learn today, kids?
Yeah. There's a little bit of a respect for them in the sense that they expect them to be able to follow along with the story and not just be like, take away like some lesson of the day. It's more like, no, these are characters that are going through something, even if they're not taking it maybe as seriously as real people would, but they are still like learning things. And you know, this episode was largely like, don't just take shit.
Yeah. And the other thing too, and it's something that I did not even think of until recently, because we were watching a Corridor Crew video about the creators of Wallace and Gromit, and something that I didn't even realize until watching these again, being a kid that little, seeing something that is very tactile makes you in your brain go, I could make something like that, which is exactly what the creator of Wallace and Gromit did. He went, I
could do that.
I could make clay figures.
I got hands. I got Play-Doh.
Because I oftentimes you forget how unadvanced storytelling can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need a whole lot,
yeah,
to be an artist. Mm-hmm. Sure, you can get more bells and whistles, but they don't make you a better artist. They just make that medium more interesting. Same with something like this, where it's like, could you imagine being a, well, just say you're, so this came out in 72. So when this came out, like, because my dad was born in 62. Yeah, so he would have been 12. Could you imagine being a 12-year-old little boy watching these like cool characters being chased by dinosaurs that are made out of the same stuff that your Christmas specials are made out of?
I mean, that's a lot of reason why Doctor Who appealed to me, was just some of the first stuff I saw was Rose being chased around by mannequins at the mall.
Fuck that. Scary shit I ever seen. But anyways, I'm really glad I am very glad that I have finally been able to get you to sit down on the couch with me and watch one of my favorite TV shows.
Yeah, it was a good time. I'm glad we got a chance to do this.
Yeah. And now we can move on. And we can finally kill Hitler on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is your doctor?
Who is indeed? I like being the host.
Was our April Fool's Day episode for the year. I hope it wasn't an unpleasant little prank like some April Fool's bits can be, because we certainly had a good time. Special thanks to Gabe Gansel for requesting this episode, being a Big Daddy Dalek patron, and for just being a really good friend in the real world. If you know him, you know how great he is. I'm lucky to know him. I'll put it that way. Also, thanks to our other Big Daddy Dalek patron, Andrew Blewett. If you'd like to join them and our other patrons, you can find us on patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. So if you're itching to get back to Doctor Who already, you can find our episode on Let's Kill Hitler there right now. If you'd like to pitch us other episode ideas, you can message us on Patreon or on Blue Sky at WimDPod. That's WIMDPOD. We're getting back to Doctor Who next Tuesday, because around these parts, Tuesdays are Who's Days.